This is an MP3 audio clip from the weekly People First radio broadcast.
CHLY 101.7 in Nanaimo.
Grandpa? 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 I have a grandpa that has Alzheimer's. It's a sickness that makes the person that's got it not remember stuff so good.
I remember my grandmother a lot before she had Alzheimer's disease, when she could speak, when she could walk, when she could hug me.
My grandpa Brooks is really great and he loves children. Sometimes he does remember my name, sometimes he doesn't. He's losing his memory.
He doesn't remember my name.
By now he doesn't know anybody.
He seems like he doesn't know where he is.
It's like you're watching them fade away.
I'm Maria Shriver, and my dad has Alzheimer's, so I'm a child of Alzheimer's. My children are children of Alzheimer's, and I've learned a lot from them and how to deal with a parent who has Alzheimer's. And there are many lessons that our children can teach us as more and more of us deal with parents who have Alzheimer's.
Dementia is a syndrome consisting of a number of symptoms that include loss of memory, judgment and reasoning, and changes in mood and behavior. These symptoms may affect a person's ability to function at work, in social relationships, or in day-to-day activities. Sometimes symptoms of dementia can be caused by conditions that may be treatable, such as depression, thyroid disease, infections, or drug interactions. If the symptoms are not treatable and progress over time, they may be due to damage to the nerve cells in the brain. Alzheimer's disease, the most common form of dementia, accounts for 64% of all dementias in Canada.
The effects of Alzheimer's disease include a gradual onset and continuing decline of memory, as well as changes in judgment or reasoning, and the inability to perform familiar tasks. Sometimes a person may have symptoms such as a sudden onset of memory loss, early behavior changes, or difficulties with speech and movement. These symptoms may suggest a dementia other than Alzheimer's disease. Currently, about 500,000 Canadians live with Alzheimer's or related dementia. 72% of these are women. 71,000 of those Canadians with dementia are under age 65, and 50,000 are under age 60. This is not strictly a senior's problem. It is not senility.
We opened this segment with a clip from a preview for a documentary film series broadcast last month on HBO called The Alzheimer's Project. Grandpa, Do You Know Who I Am? Was hosted by Maria Shriver, whose father has Alzheimer's disease. And we're joined in the studio by Jane Hope, Support and Education Coordinator for Central and North Vancouver Island for the Alzheimer's Society of BC, and by Mary Jean Van Jean, who is a caregiver whose husband Bill was diagnosed 2 years ago with Alzheimer's. Jane, we'll start with you, and we'll just begin by noting that Alzheimer's disease is not considered a mental illness, but it does affect the mental processes. So just tell us more about Alzheimer's.
Alzheimer's is an extremely sad disease that affects just about every part of a person's life. We talked a little bit about the symptoms earlier, and as a person loses their memory and loses their ability to perform familiar tasks, their life does become quite a challenge. And this affects not only them, but also their caregivers and ultimately society. It's often referred to as death by a thousand subtractions.
That's a pretty powerful statement. That we were talking a little earlier about some of the causes of Alzheimer's as well. Could be accumulated brain injury, can be, as you mentioned, genetically predisposed a bit. What other things might...
we're not totally sure of the specific cause, but there are a lot of risk factors that contribute to developing dementia. And those risk factors include the things that you just talked about, as well as the genetic component. It's really important for people to stay socially active because that keeps your brain functioning. It's important for people to live a healthy life. And, you know, all of the same things that will keep your heart healthy will also keep your brain healthy. Learning new things on a fairly regular basis is really good for your brain as well.
Is Alzheimer's disease considered to be an epidemic in a sense?
I'm not sure if I would describe it as an epidemic, but I would certainly say there is a tidal wave on its way. The main risk factor for Alzheimer's is age. While 1 in 13 people over the age of 65 are affected, 1 in 3 over the age of 85 are affected. And as the baby boomers are aging, more and more people will be affected by dementia.
One of the things that we do in association with the radio broadcast of People First Radio is to scan the media for articles related to issues that touch on mental health and emotional health and people's lives and the challenges that they're dealing with. And I've detected a fair amount of research being reported in the popular media about Alzheimer's.
Absolutely. There is a lot of research going on. And in fact, it was just over 100 years ago that Alzheimer's was named, but probably in the last, I'd say, 15 years that the majority of research has been done. And so there is a lot of hope for the future.
Well, and given that people are living longer due to, you know, generally healthier lifestyles as a rule, and also medical technology keeping people alive quite a lot longer than they used to, there would be more interest. What kinds of programs are available locally for Alzheimer's?
Locally, we have a variety of programs available. We have a support group in Nanaimo. Actually, we have support groups up and down the island, but here in Nanaimo, we have one that meets on the second Thursday of every month. We have the teleworkshops that we're going to talk about a bit later. I do have an education session coming up on July the 8th, which is a Wednesday at 1:30 in the afternoon, and it's called Life After Diagnosis. Any of these, if you're interested, you can certainly call me at 250-245-7939. Or if you're out of that calling area, you can get me at my toll-free number, which is 1-800-462-2833.
You're listening to People First Radio. I'm Kevin. I'm here with Jan. We're talking about Alzheimer's disease today. We're joined in the studio by Jane Hope, Support and Education Coordinator for Central and North Vancouver Island for the Alzheimer's Society of BC, and by Mary Jean Van Jenny, a caregiver whose husband Bill was diagnosed 2 years ago with Alzheimer's disease.
People look at me and they say, "You don't look as if you've got dementia. I mean, how do you look when you've got dementia?" Yes, I'm not stereotypical from the point that I'm not old or I'm not in the older person's bracket, but it does happen to younger people, and you just have to accept it and make the best of it and get on with your life. It's not a death sentence. You still can do things with your life, and you've got to remain positive, thinking about, well, I may not remember exactly what I should be doing today, but with somebody else's help, I will conquer the day, and I will still do this, and I will still go out on my own. Yes, I'll get lost, but okay, you know, tomorrow's another day.
The name and the illness doesn't go together at all. I am not demented. All right, I forget things, and sometimes I'm not aware of what's going on, but that doesn't mean I'm not human, and I got no feelings. I still sense things, feel things. Maybe not at the time, you know, but it happens. And people should understand that we're not lepers, you know, we're not people to be ignored. We still want to be talked to and treated, you know, just like any other human being could be treated, with respect.
I think it was more awareness, more education. People would realise that it's not contagious. Some people are being treated for it and do have lives. We are normal people, our brains have gone AWOL, but it's not our fault. We try to live life as normal as possible. And I think if it gets through to school children, about life with dementia, then they would accept it and get through to their parents, who in many cases seem to have a main problem, and the elderly people still, a lot of elderly people remember the days when people with dementia were taken away to mental hospitals.
That was an audio clip from a documentary produced by the Alzheimer's Society in the UK called Out of the Shadows. The society launched a campaign last October to dispel negative connotations associated with dementia and Alzheimer's disease after a study found evidence of significant stigma and also found that for most people, the process of getting diagnosed was a long, protracted, and at times distressing experience.
We're joined in the studio by Jane Hope, a support and educators coordinator with the BC Alzheimer's Society, and by Mary Jean Van Jane, whose husband Bill was diagnosed with Alzheimer's 2 years ago. Mary Jean, what was your and Bill's experience as you progressed through the diagnosis and coming to terms with this?
I think we suspected it, definitely. I suspected it a couple of years before the diagnosis. And we moved in the interim while the diagnosis. We did a full set of physical tests, including an MRI, prior to our move. And then we went to see a doctor here. But it took us over 6 months to get in to a gerontologist to obtain a diagnosis that allowed us to obtain medication for it. There is medication that may slow the progress of it, and people may choose to take it or not. We have chosen for my husband to take this medication, and it does seem to be making a difference for him.
You say that there was a choice or there was consideration about taking a medication or not taking the medication. Is this because of side effects that are associated with that medication, or what would cause you to choose or not choose that route?
Some people have side effects that make it intolerable. Their body can't tolerate it, so that may be part of it. Some of it, because regardless of the medication, it is still a degenerative disease. And the progress, all it does is slow the progress. For some people who have it, they choose to just let it take its natural course without medication. And other people choose to take the medication to try and extend the time during which they're more able to communicate and function with their families and socially.
Mary Jean, have you or has Bill, to your knowledge, experienced stigma because of his diagnosis?
It was very interesting listening to your clip. We haven't experienced outward stigma, and I think when I listened to the clip, it was interesting how open the people were. For us, we have found being very open about Bill's diagnosis has made people very generous in accepting and allowing help. The one thing we do find is that Bill's communication has slowed down, and he may occasionally trip over words or have difficulty expressing himself. He also cannot take in language at the same speed. So for someone to communicate with him, they must speak more slowly. And they must have the patience to fill in the blanks for him when he cannot speak. But that probably at this point is the biggest problem we've noticed.
Jane Hope, you work with the Alzheimer's Society of BC in the central and northern part of Vancouver Island. Mary Jean has been talking about her experience as Bill was diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. What are some of the things that you see in terms of your interactions with people over the years? What have you seen? What are some of the themes and the challenges that people face at this point in time of their experience with Alzheimer's in the family?
I think one of the challenges is accepting help. A lot of people don't want to accept help, and especially people of the older generation, our elders, have taken care of themselves all their life. And when all of a sudden the children step in and say, you know, we need to provide you with some home support, or we need somebody to come in and make sure that you're taking your medications, those sorts of things can be very, very difficult. And unfortunately, most people who develop any form of dementia will require some assistance as the disease progresses. Mm-hmm. The other challenge that I see is when a person with dementia will appear to be perfectly all right, as was mentioned on the clip. And so a family member who is living with that person is going to be very aware of, you know, of their illness. But other people think, well, no, they seem to be perfectly fine. And that's very, very normal. They're able to, you know, pull it together often for doctor's visits or times when it might be a little bit important to show that you actually have, you know, have some challenges.
What's your sense around that?
I think that's very true. Bill and I have often discussed, what does a person do who doesn't have a support person? Because while Bill can do many things on his own, there are things he cannot do or cannot do without my assistance. He can take money out of a bank, you know, using a bank card. He can use his Visa, but he couldn't manage the finances. So I have to do all of that. Other things about remembering, I mean, if I don't write the list, instructions, only one instruction at a time. And if he walks away and thinks of something else, he will forget about that. Whereas, as Jane said, other times he can appear totally unaffected to outsiders.
It sounds like you're very open to discussing it, sharing. You mentioned you shared all this information with your family, so you get a lot of support from your children and other brothers and sisters, and also from outside help as well. It seems as if you've sought out all the information that's available to you.
Oh, I find that the Alzheimer's Society has been so helpful. Bill participated in an early stage support group in Victoria for a period of time, and I went to two excellent workshops, one in Victoria and one here in Nanaimo, called Coping with Transitions in Dementia Caregiving, Dimensions of Loss and Grief, and those were lifesavers for me. They were so amazing. I thought maybe I was too, you know, we were too early on in this journey. But actually, I found that since I took these, it has helped me so much that it's also benefited Bill, because I'm much calmer and able to cope in a much more healthy fashion.
Mm-hmm. The British Columbia Alzheimer's Society held its annual Walk for Memories in January. Thousands of participants in communities across the province, including Nanaimo and Cowichan Valley, walked to raise funds for Alzheimer's support programs and research. The next Walk for Memories will be held January 31st, 2010. Here are some participant comments from the Walk for Memories.
One in three Canadians know someone who is living with dementia. Who are you walking for?
We're walking for Bob Hicks.
And Jan Benson.
Hi, walking for Bink Johnson.
Fred and...
Gene Kirby.
Yes.
Purpose that I'm here for in this Alzheimer's Walk for Memories, my grandma suffered with Alzheimer's for 35 years and never knew about it back then, what it was, and just thought it was old age. And also, too, a dear friend of ours' wife is suffering with Alzheimer's, and we believe it's just a noble cause, and we just love it, love the group.
I'm walking for my mom.
Kathy Cowell.
Walking for my grandma, Lois.
I'm walking for Doug Fraser. Yep. Passed away in October.
I'm walking for my father, Fred Thompson.
Our mom.
Hi there.
Walking for Gene Wilkie. Great day.
My name is Karen. I'm a volunteer for the Alzheimer's Society of BC, specifically for the Walk for Memories. My grandmother has Alzheimer's, so I'm here for her. There's not much that you can do specifically for the disease itself, so this is my way of giving back to her.
For my dad, passed away 2 years ago from Alzheimer's.
Kathy Cowell.
My father.
I'm looking for my grandma.
A friend of mine's grandmother died of Alzheimer's a few years ago.
In 2001, when I was diagnosed with early stage Alzheimer's disease, I turned to the society and found help and hope. I am here today walking for those voices who can no longer be heard. I'm walking for those who have not yet been diagnosed, and I'm walking for a cure.
The BC Alzheimer's Society offers a series of telephone workshops to provide information and help to people affected by the disease. Terry Maynard is the coordinator of the telephone workshop program. She's joined us on the phone today from Kamloops. Welcome to People First Radio, Terry.
Thank you.
We have Jane Hope and Mary Jean Van Gien here with us in the studio as well. Tell us about the telephone workshop series.
Well, the telephone workshop series is something that we've been doing since January of 2008, and it is a series to basically offer people the opportunity to connect with the society in a way that maybe they wouldn't otherwise be able to. For example, people may be in remote areas of the province and not be able to access local workshops or information services, or they might otherwise not be able to access services because they can't leave the person alone, or they may be working during the day or evening, and so the schedule of support services might not fit their needs. So the teleworkshops basically allow people to or enhance their ability to connect with the Alzheimer's Society of BC's education and information services.
How many people would access this service, say, in a week?
Well, actually, we do a monthly teleworkshop, and since January of 2008, we have reached over 70 communities in BC and the Yukon and served over 450 individuals, and including groups of family caregivers.
Terry, we have Jane Hope and Mary Jean Van Gennie in the studio with us today. Mary Jean was talking about a workshop that benefited her to a great extent. And in fact, Jane was talking about a workshop which is focused on the time right after diagnosis. Now, one of the things that I noticed when I first contacted the society to ask you to come in and participate in these interviews today was that you had advertised a workshop on, I believe it was, the experience just after diagnosis.
Yes, one of the teleworkshops that we offer is based on our workshops in the dementia series as well, and that one is called Life After Diagnosis. And it does help the person and family members who are facing a diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease or another illness that causes dementia to learn about some tools for coping, learn about their disease a little bit more, and how they may learn to plan and learn and walk in the disease process.
Mary Jean, as someone who is affected directly, I guess you would say, by Alzheimer's disease, have you also participated in leading the workshops or in sharing your experience with people who have, let's say, come into the experience of Alzheimer's for the first time?
I have participated in the telephone workshops, more as, not as a leader, but just as a learner. Mm. I think I will participate in more as time goes on.
I love the telephone workshops because I cover a huge territory. My territory is from the Malahat right to the north end of the island and all points west, and there is only one of me. So I can't get to all the different communities that I would like to. So now I know that when I talk to a family in Tassus or a family in Gold River or somebody even in Campbell River or Courtney, that I can say to them, you know, there's these great workshops coming up. And I do understand that quite a few people from the island have taken part in the workshops. Mm.
That seems like a really common sense approach for people to be able to access it, and especially if you're living in a very rural community. It's a wonderful opportunity.
Terry, I'm wondering if you could give us an indication as to the upcoming workshop, you know, in the next week or so, and perhaps how people could find out more about that workshop and how they could register, in fact.
Sure, I'd be happy to. The next workshop is on June 11th, and it's at 7 p.m., and it's called Planning Ahead. And it's basically highlights the need to think about those short-term and long-term future planning needs and to encourage people to start planning now. So what we'll do is we'll learn about the kinds of planning that people need to consider, including legal and financial and healthcare issues. And we'll introduce participants to the Ready, Set, Plan checklist, which is basically a checklist of various tools that you may need to enhance your planning for the future. So that teleworkshop, again, is June 11th at 7 p.m., and it is open to residents of B.C. and the Yukon. And people can register by going to the Alzheimer's Society of B.C. website. That's www.alzheimerbc.org. Or they can call the Caring Voice Network, and that is the partnership network that we use to facilitate the teleworkshops. We provide the content of the teleworkshops, but Caring Voice Network helps us with registration as well as evaluations of those teleworkshops. So you can call Caring Voice Network toll-free at 1-866-396-2433 to register, or as I said before, you can go on the website for www.alzheimerbc.org. They are free of charge. Again, they are an extension of our dementia series workshops. They have been created to suit the teleworkshop and online environment. I must mention that we also provide an online content. It's not necessary to be connected to the internet in order to take part of the in the shops. But to enhance the learning experience for those who can access the online content, we show PowerPoint slides basically to enhance the learning environment.
Okay, and we have just a moment left while we have all three of you connected here and on the air. I'm wondering, Jane Hope, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Absolutely. I think what I'd like to say is that oftentimes I hear people say that they feel that their life is over when they get a diagnosis of Alzheimer's, and that's absolutely not true. It's simply another chapter in their life. And I think what's incredibly important is that they learn as much about their disease as they can, both the people affected by dementia as well as their caregivers.
Mary Jean Van Jenny.
I was just thinking about the latest workshop that was being discussed and how important it is to do some of the planning ahead. While you have to balance living for today and in the moment, you also have to plan ahead. So that workshop will be very useful.
And Terry Maynard.
Well, I really encourage people like, you know, Jane and Mary Jane had said that it really is important to learn as much as you can about the disease so that you can walk through this journey in the best way possible. And because we offer so many workshops, both locally dementia series and through the teleworkshops, we offer eight. We're starting to write three new ones for the next season. I would really encourage you to check those out and to contact the Alzheimer's Society of BC. If you're thinking of registering for any of the teleworkshops, we do encourage people to register at least a few days in advance to confirm that they have all the necessary instructions to connect to the teleworkshop. And I just really look forward to people getting involved and getting as much information as they possibly can.
Thank you very much for joining us today, Terry.
Thank you.
And thank you, Jane and Mary Jean, as well. It's been very informative, and I hope the listeners get some good information and hang on to it.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Thanks for coming in. Jane Hope is Support and Education Coordinator in Central and North Vancouver Island for the Alzheimer's Society of BC. Mary Jean Van Jenny is a caregiver whose husband Bill was diagnosed 2 years ago with Alzheimer's disease. And Terry Maynard is Program Coordinator for the telephone program offered by the BC Alzheimer's Society. We'd like to acknowledge the information provided by the websites of the Alzheimer's Society of British Columbia, the Alzheimer's Society in the United Kingdom, Douglas Mental Health University Institute, and HBO in the preparation of this program segment. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society, broadcast on Radio Malaspina Society's CHLY 101.7 FM radio from Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed on this program are not necessarily those of these organizations.